So this week's parsha is Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, that you are all standing here together, all of you. And we always read this parsha right before Rosh Hashanah. Right before Rosh Hashanah, this parsha of Atem Nitzavim is always read. And the Alter Rebbe explains, what's the reason for that? The reason for that is because Atem Nitzavim Hayom, today, is what it says in the book of Job, of Iyov, is Hayom, is referring to Hayom Dina Rabba. Today is referring to the great judgment. And what's the great judgment? The great judgment is the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. And V'atem Nitzavim Hayom, that you are standing all together today on the day of Rosh Hashanah, is referring to the preparation that we stand before this day of the creation of the world. So this day of Rosh Hashanah, or rather the day itself, is the day which we're referring to as Yom Hadin. Yet, in order to come to Yom Hadin, in order to come to the Day of Judgment, we have to come, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, we have to come together. So it's not enough to show up to court on your own. Atem, right? Doesn't say Ata Nitzav, that you're standing up. Nitzavim is plural. Nitzavim is referring to the plural sense, that nitzav is singular, that one person is going up and they're standing there alone. But the truth is that we're all standing there together. So there's a story that there's a guy that was that shows up to a test, you know, one of these standardized tests. It was SATs or one of these tests, and he shows up to the test, right? Or a bagut, and he's there taking the test. And the proctor is like, there's another 10 minutes left, you know. So everyone, you know, almost everyone is done with their test basically when there's 10 minutes left. You know what it feels like, if you know what I'm talking about, when you're like in the last 10 minutes. And like almost everyone is left. You're like, is anything wrong with me? But like, okay, but you're there. And there are 5 minutes left, you know, 5 minutes left. You know, we're going to be collecting the, almost everyone is gone. And then a minute left, the test, you have to hand in the test. Finally, the proctor says, the lady says, we're finished, done. I can't take your test anymore. Like, finished. If you didn't hand it in, it's gone. So this guy takes his test and he says, do you know who I am? And so she's thinking, oh, he's probably like the president of the university's son or whatever it is. He's like, no, I don't know who you are. Like, I don't even know. I don't care. Like, I'm a professional. I'm a proctor. I don't take, like, she's like, do you know who I am? She's like, no, I don't know who you are. And I don't, you know, and actually I don't care who you are. And it's like, you don't know who I am? I don't know who you are. So he sticks in the test in the middle of all the tests and he walks out. And
that's the end of the story.
Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem. We're all standing there together. When we realize that we're standing there together, not as one person, because if Hashem knows who we are, then, right, Hashem judges each person, like, on that, you know, on that particular, did you do this? That happened that day and that day. But when we're standing there together, there's a collective power in that, which is very close to the concept of rachamim, of basically of compassion, of divine compassion, that Hashem is able to elicit compassion when we stand together with others. Because when we stand just by ourselves, we're very limited. But when we stand together with others, we include ourselves with the klal, with others, which the word for tzibur is tzadikim, benonim, and reshaim. That we put ourselves together with the tzibur. Like, exactly, like the lulav. We put ourselves together with everyone else. We realize there's something greater than ourselves. And that's what the parsha starts off in, and the psukim are, Atem nitzavim ayom kulchem, rashechem, shiftechem, shoftechem, shoteichem, mishoev meimecha, michotev etzecha ad shoev meimecha. Basically, it refers to 10 levels, which are referring to the 10 sfirot, starting off from the highest level, Roshechem, all the way to the lowest level. And all of them are interconnected, intertwined as one. And the Alter Rebbe continues and he says that when a person thinks that they are higher, for whatever reason, than someone else, because of what they have achieved, on whatever level that may be, then they are very mistaken, because they don't realize that we're living in a world which is not exactly judged in the way that the world judges or thinks that things are supposed to be, whether because we're human beings. Exactly. Even a religious point of view, thinking that I have achieved so much, I am wearing this big or I have learned all these years in, and this person, what do they even know? And the thing is, what do we even know? Because we don't understand the neshamas, we don't understand souls, we don't understand where souls really come from and what the origins are of neshamas, of souls. And we may think that a certain neshama is a lower, lowly neshama. We don't understand that they're actually even way higher than us. And the Alter Rebbe puts it is that Roshechem, Shiftechem, Shoteichem, until all the way down to the lowest levels. And the truth is that the highest level needs or requires the lowest level, that in order for the brain to be able to function, they used to have what is called bloodletting back in the day, where they used to bloodlet from the feet, meaning that the feet are able to heal the head. So there's a mila, there's an advantage of the feet over the head. And it's like that also when you think about it. Now the brain wants to think or wants to look at a book. Well, nowadays we have most of the books, you know, on our phones and our devices, but like there's nothing like opening up an actual book. But how do you get to the book? Feet have to go and search for the book and reach for the book, and the arms have to reach out for the book and take out that, you know, that incredible, magnificent book and to open it up.
And see and smell and feel.
Exactly.
And hear the papers, everything works.
Right. When you read the book. And exactly. You're so all of it comes together. All parts of you, the emotional, the intellectual, the sense, they're all together. Atem nitzavim ayom kulchem, rashechem, shiftechem, shoftechem. All of the 10 levels are intertwined. So in order to reach Rosh Hashanah, we have to come together. And the words over there, which are used by the Alter Rebbe, is Atem nitzavim ayom achadim ke'echad. One second. Atem nitzavim ayom kulchem. אתם ניצבים היום כולכם כאחד מיוחדים לאחדו. That you are unified to unify him. So you are one to unify and to become unified. And that's basically the wording over there, the interpretation. And in the explanation of the Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, atem nitzavim echad, echad, we are unified as one, right? And we are unified within that oneness. We are unified to become one. So one second. So what are these three languages of unity? There's a general unity that we have, that we could say United States of America. There's a United States that you have 50 whatever states, and you're saying that they're all like united under this one
flag.
So there's a unity, right? Hopefully. But then unity doesn't really stop there. Where does unity really come from? Unity really comes from within, right? Ke'echad le'achado. Atem echad le'achadim ke'echad. Echad ke'achadim, right? Ke'achadim le'achado, right? So we go to a transitional place of finding unity. Where does unity really come from? Unity comes from the fact that I realize that I am a, let's say, an arm. And the other person, let's say I'm the right arm. The other person is the left arm. And then the other person is the limb, is the foot. The other person is the nose. Exactly. We're all one. We're all one of one body. Right? But I realize that my specific role in what I am doing is a specific role. I'm an arm. My job is to be the arm. It's a very important job, because if you forget that job, then there's no, and basically the whole body feels it. You know, I spoke to someone today that's recovering from a certain thing, and he was like, you would never guess how important it is and how amazing it is. Never forget how blessed you are to have, you know, basically health, right? And everything that we have, you know, to realize, because if one little thing, God forbid, within the body, then we're not feeling good, right? God forbid, everyone should feel really good now and for the whole year. But like, but that idea of that we are one, but why are we one? Because we're fulfilling our purpose in our individual calling is a very, very important concept, that we have an individual calling, that my individual calling is not your individual calling, not your, not yours, and not yours. Each of us has an individual calling that Hashem sent us down into this world to do. And in order for us to have unity with the other parts of ourselves, we first have to find out what is that calling. Because if we don't find out what that calling is, how can we... Then we missed it. then we can't have unity with someone else if I don't even know what I am, what my destiny is, right? So finding out our mission and our tafkid, we could say, in the world, our purpose in the world, and to do that job is something that we can't run away from. And in fact, you know, it's one of the most powerful concepts, really, and that we could really wrap our minds around. You know, in the whole story of Yonah, which we get to on Yom Kippur. What are we talking about on Yom Kippur? Right at the end of Yom Kippur, someone that tried to run away from their destiny. And it's like a missed calling. You know, and there's a story of the Baal Shem Tov that there were two students of the Baal Shem Tov, Reb David Lakis, and another student that wanted to come to Mezebush for Rosh Hashanah to be by the holy Baal Shem Tov for Rosh Hashanah. And they were traveling for very, very far away. And as they're coming through, the horse died. They had to buy another horse. They had to buy another wagon. The had all these miniot, all these obstacles as they're coming through. Here they are, like 3-4 kilometers from Mezebush. The wagon, again, a wheel breaks down. And out comes, in the middle of the field, you know, a Jew, and he's like, stop, you know, we need you for a minyan. We need you to stay with us for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We need you for a minyan. Could you please be here? We're missing, you know, and this is just this one student, Rav David Lakis, that was his name. And he's like, are you kidding me? Like, I made all this way. I'm right by the Baal Shem Tov. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, the next guy will be like hopefully down the block, you know, hopefully it'll stop for you. And once the wheel was fixed, he was off on his way and he goes to the Baal Shem Tov. And as he is there, Rosh Hashanah, he's elated being there in Mezebush in such a holy environment. And right after the prayers, after the davening, he's walking by everyone to say a Shana Tova to the holy Baal Shem Tov in his face. Shana Tova, and the Baal Shem Tov doesn't look at him. He's like, whoa, that was an accident, maybe. And he keeps on going. And Yom Kippur comes around and Sukkot, and the Baal Shem Tov is ignoring him. And he realized over here, he's anxious. He's got angst. What did I do? What do I do? What do I fix? What do I do? The Rebbe is upset at me. What do I do? And so he walks in after Simchat Torah, after the last day, and he said, Rebbe, what do I do? And the Baal Shem Tov said, Rebbe David, you missed it. The whole reason why your soul came down to the world was to make a minyan, was to be the 10th person for that minyan. If you would have been the 10th person for that minyan, you would have raised up, you know, that entire forest or whatever it was over there that you were doing, and you and that's it, and you missed it. Yeah. What's that?
I don't like it.
So I'll tell you a very basic story like that as well. There was an amazing individual that lived over here in Sfat. Her name was Nechama Greisman. Mm-hmm. She wrote a number of incredible books. She lived in Tzfat. She was shluchah in Tzfat. That's correct. And it's called Nechemia. She died in childbirth. And anyways, so she writes in one of her books that she was on a train ride, on a subway train ride, when right after the Rebbe kind of said that, you know, we should inspire other women to light Shabbat candles. And so she's sitting there, she's on a train ride, and she looks around and she sees someone that sort of she believes looks Jewish. And I'm very tired right now. You know, now is not the time to like for me to do anything. I just want to like listen to my music, or I just want to like do my thing. I don't want to like, you know, I don't want to go out of my place. And then she thinks, she's like, you know what? What if I just a little bit went out of my way? And so she does. She says, excuse me, to this mother and daughter. Excuse me. Hi, are you Jewish? It's like, well, actually, yes. Well, you know, like it's Shabbat, you know, here are Shabbat candles. And this is the blessing that you could say, et cetera, et cetera. And that's it. And she goes on her way. 2 years later, someone knocks on her door, and it's this girl, and she has come to seminary. Her life has completely been changed. And what apparently happened was they started to light Shabbat candles. And so her soul is ignited by that. And that caused her to want to seek Yiddishkeit, Judaism. And that caused her to want to set. And her mother also wanted to. And she's writing this and she's saying, this was all just a matter of moments and a choice. I'm on the train. I could say nothing, or I could offer something, which is life. And the opposite. And it's almost like we have the opportunity to bring life. And also in our parsha, right? God says, I'm giving you life and I'm giving you the opposite. Bacharta b'chaim, choose life. Choose the opportunity to be kind. Choose the opportunity to do the right thing. Choose the opportunity to really live up to your potential, to your mission, right? So we have our potential, which is there, but unless we know our potential, then how could we be in unity with anyone else?
Is this where the parsha or L'chaim comes from?
Yes, L'chaim are two opposites, and that are coming together. No problem. Good. Ubachata b'chaim. When you chose life. The gematria of chaim, by the way, right? So we have that. That's also elul with a kolel. So which is chaim. You should choose life. Elul is gematria chaim with a kolel. With a number around it.
Why doesn't it say b'chartem b'chayim?
U'b'charta. No, b'charta b'chayim. Right. You should choose life. So we've got unity, and then we've got our unity, and then we've got the collective unity. So the collective unity is something which comes from something which is seemingly outside of us. So we've got individuals, we've got people, and you could turn it off. Yeah. So, right. So we've got three levels of unity. We've got the United States of America. Everyone is united, right? All of the states are united. And then underneath that, we've got really a unity that pervades within each and every individual, which we call democracy. Actually, it's a very powerful concept, the power of democracy, the power of the individual, that the individual has the power to choose, that we are granted, right, the rights to choose what we want, you know, and the type of leaders that we want. And that's something which has really put America, you know, the United States on a different pedestal, you know, in the rest of the world, that, you know, that a type of country that chooses freedom, right? Potentially, right? That, you know, the United States is a little bit in limbo right now because we actually don't know who we are. And that's the problem, because when we think about, well, we have the collective. So it used to be that, what does it mean, the collective? That there's a monarch, right? There's a king or a queen, and they control everyone under them. They suppress them pretty much. And democracy opened up the power for the individual to now be choosing what they want to choose. So it's a very different stage than where it was ever in human history, the fact that we have the ability to choose. Yet we often forget what it is that we really are choosing. What is it that we're really choosing? Are we really choosing, you know, to be our very best? We try. 100%. We definitely try. And that's all that we could do is try, right? To do our very best, right? Le'achadim, right? Echad le'achadim ke'echad. But then comes the unity that comes afterwards, because after we understand our individual unity, and then we connect to the collective unity, there's a much greater unity. And that's what we started off with, that when it's just us in our individualism, which is what pretty much, you know, America or a lot of the Western world really idolizes, like individuality, you know, you're wearing this type of clothes, or you're this type of gender, or you don't even have a gender, and that's really individual. You know, you're like so individual that even biology can't understand that, and it just boggles the mind, because it's not about how individual you are. It's about how much Hashem wants you in the world, how much He needs you in the world to fulfill His mission. And it's not about you, it's about the mission. So it's about how much you're connecting to the other people in the world. It's not about you. It's not about how amazing I am, how amazing my individuality is, how great my colors are, how amazing, like, you know, my house is. And this is, that's great. Like, good. If it's serving Hashem, then beautiful. Then why not? Incredible. Exactly. Kelim Na'im, the whole thing is beautiful. But if it's about you, it's not about you. Kol anivra lishmi l'chvodi berativ, right? Yetzativ af asitiv. Everything that I created for me, Hashem says. I created the entire world for me. I created.
Bless Him in every minute of the day.
And exactly. I created the whole world for me. It's not about you. I want you to actualize you, because that's the greatest way of you finding the greatest good, because you being you is the greatest good. Because if it's anyone else's you, then it's not really you. Then you're not really actualized. And as Maslow says, like, you're not really fulfilled.
That's right. Right. In the Chumash, first two words of the Chumash is Bereshis Bara. There is the word Bara twice in Bereshis Bara. Why say twice the word Bara? You said Bereshis, you already said Bara, Betrish Aleph. Then you say again Bara? The answer is that the word Bereshis is a blessing to him.
Mm-hmm.
Betrish, Raisha Tevis, Baruch, Baruch Shmoy.
That's it. That's
Aleph
it. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So
the first minute you get out, you said Bereshit.
The Bereshit Bara that we basically thank Hashem, and the ability to thank Hashem in the creation is what makes us what allows us to basically assume who we are. So the thankfulness or the gratitude that we have in our creation, that humility in our creation, in who we are. In other words, there's like the netzach. Netzach is like, there's my fortitude and there's my individuality, which is there. Hod is very much about I'm humbled and I am nothing. And I'm in a state of gratitude to what I am granted, right? These two levels are what we're juggling. We're juggling individuality and we're juggling humility.
Juggling.
Once. Yeah. That on the one hand, Hashem says, right? King Solomon was once asked a great, he asked all the craftsmen, you know, he was the wisest man and the richest man to live, right? And so he had all the funds in the world. He had all, and he said, listen, I want a great piece of jewelry made for me that I could put on my finger. I want a ring. I want a beautiful ring. And I want someone to come forth with the ring that I'm going to put on my finger. So all the jewelers and all the people from the entire world, like, they got on the job. They were like, King Solomon is asking for a ring. Whoa, if we get on to King Solomon, we're getting on to the Ed Sullivan show, like times like, you know. And they all came up with their rings and he's like, no, 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 no. Finally, a simple craftsman from Jerusalem comes along and he's like, I've got the ring. And the ring said that I am but dust and ashes. And also, Bishvili Nivra Olam, that the entire world was created for me.
Both.
Yep. Right? I'm wearing this ring, and King Solomon said, that's the ring. That's the ring that I want. That's the ring that I want to remind me, not of how rich I am, how big of a, you know, rock I could have on my, but what is this rock going to remind me of? My humanity.
This reminds me of every morning. My bracelet.
There you go. And it's a little, and it's not as expensive as that rock.
5 shekels in the super.
There you go.
5 shekels and you buy one.
There you go. So. It's got a purpose. It's got a purpose. And in an inner. Yeah. So we've got this paradox that we're holding, that is, the world was created for me, which is the truth. God wants me, wants you to fulfill your mission to the fullest. Otherwise, you are, we are, what is called, like the word is me'ila. Like we are usurping. We are not taking, we're not fully taking advantage of the blessings which Hashem has blessed us with. In other words, Hashem gave us certain potential and we're like saying, no, I'm not going to use it all. I'm just going to use this much. Well, Hashem is like, well, I gave you this unlimited potential. He's like, well, I don't know. I thought it wasn't exactly for me. Maybe it was for the other person. It's like, no, I gave you this potential. And it's a very scary kind of a thought to think about that. Actually, one time, you know, in a Fabregan, the Rebbe actually started to cry about this concept that, you know, that when you think about it, that we're given in actually Lo Tiel Lemcha Meshakela in 1952, that God gives us a certain amount of years and days in this world. Mm-hmm. And he gives us potential and light to be able to actualize this potential. And if we don't actualize this potential, so then we are not utilizing Hashem's blessings. And Rebbe cried literally for like 20 minutes profusely on and on and on. Like he couldn't be. Yeah. 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 1952. And this is Parshas Mishpatim. I mean, but this is like, it was like for 20 minutes. It's like, and someone like that thinking like Hashem is giving us potential. And as we're approaching Rosh Hashanah, you know, we're thinking Hashem is giving us potential. Hashem is giving us life. It's giving us potential. And we're so grateful. We're so blessed to have that. And we want to say, thank you, Hashem. And at the same time, it could be an intense kind of a realization of like, am I accepting this incredible gift that Hashem is giving to me? Like he's giving to me like this, you know, this scepter, this magic scepter. Like you have this blessing in your life and it's a blessing, absolutely a blessing. Mm-hmm. You know, I met this person today that he was like, you know, I never thought that it was a blessing to be able to go to the bathroom, really. And he had these issues. And I was like, wow. It's like, you don't understand. And he was like, he kept on being very explicit about like going to the bathroom. And then I was like, I hear you. And I know, and I get it, and it's, you know what, it's an amazing, it's absolutely true, and there's nothing that is not like accurate about that, because that is we are blessed, and Hashem is blessing us every single day. And when we think about going into this year, you know, we're blessed to live. We're blessed to live. Thank you, Hashem, with good health and what we have. Obviously, we want more and we're searching for more. And the truth is that all the searching for more could sometimes be a recipe for not being happy, because I don't have enough in the here and in the now, because right now something is missing. But the truth is that in the here and the now, we really are blessed, like incredibly blessed in what we have.
I just invented something that I told my friends about a week ago. And I said to them, they're all rushing the business and that, you know, they never have time to for themselves. I said, never, never, never in no day of your life, not in a single day of your life, never chase time.
Never chase time.
But always in every single day of your life, let time chase you.
Every single day, let time chase you. That's beautiful. I like that.
I just invented it.
What does that mean?
I think that whatever that means is just being present in the moment of life and being grateful and thankful for what we have, because when we're children and when we're teenagers and when we're young adults, you know, we don't really appreciate anything. You know, we take it for granted. Yeah. And but now, exactly. But because we're still coming from the consciousness of the children, which is the unconscious mind, and the young adult, again, the same thing. You know, but the difference is that right now there's a recognition of the adult, of, you know, that could have the observation to basically look at the moment and say that, you know, maybe I'm wasting this opportunity. Maybe it's an opportunity which is missed. I could right now use this moment to be happy, or right now use this opportunity to make others happy. Thank you. Right?
More important than make yourself.
Right. Which is, but also at the same time, you know, we have to, you know, we lively up ourselves. That's also a very important thing. And give that opportunity. So then that brings us to the other unity. So we've got three levels of unity. We've got the unity, which is the collective unity, United States, right? We've got the unity within ourselves, which is all of the different parts of ourselves. And then we've got the unity, which is outside of ourselves, which is after there's a conscious understanding of our inner unity, we could truly have an outer unity and we could have a truly meaningful experience in the collective. But that doesn't mean that we don't have our individual purpose, because it could be at the same time that within the collective moment, that we're giving up of ourselves and we're forgetting about ourselves. And when we do that, we're saying, well, I'm just, you know, just a part of something bigger and something greater. That's great. That's very nice. But you're forgetting about yourself. And you're not fully being yourself and really adding and giving to the collective space of Hashem's world.
Because I think about me and give the world.
Well, it could be that when we're just giving to others, that we're not thinking of ourselves and we're thinking like, well, it's all just about the collective. But that's the thing. It's not enough just to think about the collective. It's we also have to think about our individual selves. And those are the three expressions of the Alter Rebbe, that there's unity as, right, Atem Nisavim Ka'achadim Ke'echad Le'yachado, right?
Ke'echad is togetherness. What's the Le'yachado?
Le'yachado is to make Hashem one. It's to bring this unity within the world. That when we have this unity of opposites that are fulfilling their mission, that I come from the side of Gevurah and you come from the side of Chesed and you come from the side of this, and every person comes from the side of wherever they're coming from, we're all fulfilling our purpose. And it doesn't mean that you have to be like me or I need to be like you. You need to be like you and I need to be like me, right? Like the famous expression of the Kotzker Rebbe, if I am I because you are you and you are you because I am I, then I am not I and you are not you and you are not you. And it. And so let us be I, but if I am I and you are you and you are you because you are you, then I could be I and you can be you and we could be friends.
Yes.
So if we're just exactly because we are truly us in who we are in our individuality as well as in our collective potential, then we bring about this power which is above ourselves, right? When we are, it really starts off with achadim. We want to make something one. We want to make Hashem one in the world, right? Hashem echad, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, and we want to make the Hashem one in the world. How do we make Hashem in the world? It's not enough to do that by like external, you know, ways, or by like everyone is gonna vote for this party or that party. You know, everyone is gonna do things in that way or in that way. In right, I'm gonna think in my way, my internal way. You're gonna think in your internal way, and as understood by, right, that the collective power, which is the Torah, but my power is not your power, and my individuality is not your individuality, but together we are able to reach a level of unity which goes beyond our self and connects to everyone.
Another you.
Right. Ka'achadim ke'echad.
To unite with yourself before
Mark.
You have to unite with yourself before you are able to unite with him.
Mark.
Yeah, I was just gonna say just what you were gonna say, what you already just said, that the unity is like one with the divine. It's the oneness. It's our connection to Hashem is the unity of all. Isn't that so?
Exactly. And that unity is something that is always there. Everything is one. Hashem Echad is always there, whether we know it or not. Like we could say Hashem Echad, okay. Hashem is always one. Like what does it mean that you know it, right? It's the marching orders for the Jewish people. It's like Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. God is one, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not. Like that's the reality. You know, if you want to get it through your brain, that's a different choice. But the choice is that we say, I want to feel that unity. But feeling that unity is feeling my individuality, meaning not my individuality, which is outside of the collective, but feeling my individuality, which is, what is my service? What is my purpose in the world? And that's such a big game changer.
How do we arrive
at that? That's something which we search for, mm-hmm. Right? And King David says, and himself says, right, Hashem, I seek you. Panai es panecha Hashem avakesh. I'm seeking you. I'm asking for you. I'm searching for you. Kavel Hashem. Chazak v'amitzvah. Kavel Hashem. This is a process. It's an ongoing life process, which becomes refined more and more and more and more. That we're saying like, I've failed. I've stumbled. I don't know what to... But we keep on going. But you know what? When we have the words of Tehillim, we have the words of Psalms, we have like words like that that inspire us like that by someone who's such a searcher for the truth, such as King David, David HaMelech? What else do you need?
Tell him every morning.
That's it. You have Tehillim, and this is something which was said by everyone, all the bubbies and the like. You have a problem. You have an issue. Open up the book of Tehillim.
Listen to it.
David HaMelech, which is searching. You want a Yeshua. You want to like open up and say Tehillim. Tehillim is such a powerful mode of connection to Hashem. So we search. We don't
reading the whole Tehillim on one audio.
Beautiful.
With my background music, which I play myself.
Love it.
I let you listen to me in the
Chazak. Love it.
I wonder if I sell 25,000 copies a year.
Chazak. Beautiful.
You listen to it, you love it.
So
I think it's powerful because they were like a divine, because he made such a strong connection that it was divinely inspired.
Oh, it's divine, yeah, 100% divinely inspired. Tehillim is a divinely inspired book.
Happy lights and the flashlights in the sky.
Oh, yeah, make the angels God, yeah.
So. Okay, so let's. I'm gonna let you give a blessing.
People there?
Yes.
Okay.
So we have.
For Michaela, yes.
Michaela is gonna give a blessing.
Oh, your beer. Okay.
So
Lechaim.
In the inspiration of this lesson, I wish for all of us to find our real us. It's not so hard to find. I'm sorry, closing my eyes. It's not so hard to find because we know who we really are. It's just been hidden. So I bless all of you with to take off all the dust of the diamonds you really are. And remember that we are the divine soul, not the animal soul that is running us around the tail like a dog after the tail. And we are the divine soul. We are perfect. We are great. We are the best person walking on earth. We are the winners. We have the gavia. How do you say gavia? We have the cup. Winner cup.
We're the cup, yes.
We have the winner cup. We have the winning cup. Mm-hmm. We are the one. Without
trophy,
us,
the trophy
that was behind us wouldn't have come to reality now. So l'chaim and kapaim to us. And I bless all of us to be so happy being alive and spread the word out. And the sentence that is leading me all day long is, thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you, God, for loving me. And one friend asked me, this is a blessing, say it all day long. And a friend told me, wow, I'm so envy you. How do you know God loves you? I said, I don't know, I obligate him. And then everybody smiles to me or say good things to me, or good health is coming to me, right? Because I'm in love with God. Thank you, God, for loving me. This is what Rabbi Menis Friedman said. God wants to love you. Let him. So I bless all of us to put our hearts among a safe place, on the table with the people we like, and to let God love us.
Amen, amen, amen. Starke Wörters.
Name.
She wanted to meet me many times. I said, look, I want to get married one day. Then you guys, I didn't.
All right, everyone. Shabbat Shalom.
May God bless you all. All the happiness.
Hashem. Thank you, Michaela. From you, a happy birthday and good news for everyone. A good, sweet year.